This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with Doug Baker of the Department of Revenue. He has the latest on the governor's tax swap, and the lawmakers are debating the plan as we speak. So we will talk with Doug Baker about where we're going with the potential abolition of income taxes in Louisiana and a hike in sales taxes. Also, C.B. Vergonston, the Capital Watcher and former chief counsel of the House Appropriations Committee, he'll give his take on the tax reform measure and other matters. And we'll hear from Joni Leggio of the Louisiana Education Loan Authority, LELA, which is embarking on a scholarship plan for students going to college in our state. All this, but now the news. All right, as we advertised yesterday, Doug Baker from the Department of Revenue is with us. Doug called in yesterday at the end of our program, and we invited him to appear today to talk about the governor's tax plan. And Doug Baker is here, graduate of LSU, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and the Johns Hopkins University program in Baltimore. He has a master's degree there. And he's worked for Governor Mike Huckabee in Arkansas, and he's back home in Louisiana working for Governor Bobby Jindal and is helping formulate the plan with many others at the Department of Revenue that lawmakers are now surveying and the public at large is taking a peek at. The governor's tax swap, which will be the talk of the session when lawmakers convene in 13 days. Good morning, Doug Baker.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for hosting me and for having us. I feel like Sean McMullen to Rafe Rhymes from the LSU baseball team, pinch hitting for my boss, Tim Barfield, but we're happy to be here, and thank you for hosting
us. Well, thank you, and hopefully we'll have Tim back.
He will surely come back.
297-5633 or 877-217-5757 for Doug Baker. You've gotten an early read on the plan, at least people who are in the know now say that there's some work to be done. The Public Affairs Research Council, why don't we start with them? They've come out saying that there's some questions about whether the numbers add up. What's your answer to them?
Well, sure. First of all, we're thankful for all the analysis, and we appreciate the comments and study of the plan. One thing that we're confident of, based upon all the responses we've received, is to do nothing is not an option. I think everyone, regardless of where you're sitting on the political aisle, is wanting us to do something. The state of Louisiana's tax code is just frankly a mess. And I think you look at the economic literature and you define what is good tax policy as something that is stable, neutral, transparent, and fair. And Louisiana doesn't have that. If you look at our code, I brought the tax exemption budget here for you. It's 400 double-sided pages. There are over 191 sales tax exemptions alone. So we're grateful for what PAR has done in their analysis of this because they are calling for change. They agree with that, with many of the recommendations that have come forth from Tim and from the governor. And so we're thankful for their attitude, and we're thankful for what they've said to us in their report. We disagree with some of what they've said.
What do you disagree about?
Well, first of all, Tim has met with Robert Travis Scott and other members of that council, Kimberly Robinson, others like this, Dr. Jim Richardson, my old econ prof at LSU, who is obviously a fan of the personal income tax, which we are not. But their allegation of revenue neutrality not being there was just not right. The starting point for the data was 2011. They knew that. Tim had showed them that. They had been aware of that through many meetings of that, and we will grow that model out to become revenue neutral by 2015. That is a commitment of the governor, that is a commitment of Tim, and that will happen. To insinuate or to state that we don't have the numbers right based upon the preoccupation of this with this 2011 starting point is just incorrect.
Well, if some people pay less taxes and it's revenue neutral, doesn't that indicate that some folks are going to have to pay more taxes?
Well, I think if you look at the spate of how we've analyzed this and laid it out, the governor's made two things clear. One, that no one would be worse off because eliminating the personal income tax is a documented driver of economic growth across states that do not have personal income tax. Personal income tax has been proven to be an economic development killer. And I think we even brought in, actually the chairman brought in, through Travis Brown, his great book, How Money Walks, that $2 trillion have transferred across different state lines over the past 15 years based upon the tax rates of states, especially those that do not have income tax. And I think that is the story. Dr. Richardson said we're only getting one side of the story. The side of the story that is not being told well by Parr is that by eliminating personal income tax, it will position Louisiana to be one of the fastest growing economic states of the nation. And that's what we want to do. We want a game changer here. We've got to do something, and we want to go big.
We're listening to Doug Baker. He is the Director of Communications for the Louisiana Department of Revenue. And that department is now front and center as we prepare for a legislative session in which lawmakers will convene and discuss the governor's tax plan and ultimately will vote on it. It will take two-thirds support in both the House and the Senate. Do you think you can get those votes?
Well, that's a Herculean task, but it's a representative democracy in action, isn't it? We would disagree with John Kennedy. We would believe that the representatives that are elected by the people, from the people, are fair, knowledgeable, able to handle the technical expertise of this matter, and they will help decide. We've been in conversations with them. The governor's met with each one of them personally and in groups and showed the preliminary data to them, received their input. We look forward to this debate, and we look forward to its final passage. So, yes, I think we will get it.
70 votes in the House, 26 in the Senate. Doug Baker says the Schendel administration will get the votes. Now, there are those who say that this is a regressive plan, that if you're living at the bottom rung of the economic ladder, that this will affect you more so than those doing much better. Your answer?
Well, they obviously haven't been listening well, with all due respect. The governor's made sure that those income wage earners and those at the lower end of the economic spectrum would be cared for through a generous benefit that will be targeted directly toward them. And we call it the Family Assistance Rebate Program, FARP for short. The secretary today will be unveiling some of those details before the Committee on Ways and Means today. So I'd encourage everyone to tune in and hear that and understand more about that program, and also retirees. The governor was insistent that we care for that group of people in our state who have served so faithfully here. And a generous program has also been put in place for there. So the regressivity argument just doesn't hold water there. It is obvious that those who pay less tax, income tax, will have see a less gain there, but they will not be worse off under this plan.
Well, somebody will be worse off, maybe smokers.
Well, I'll leave that to the secretary and to the legislature to determine it.
But that's part of the plan, too, isn't it?
That is. There is a provision there for cigarette tax and excise tax to be put forth and to be brought forth before the legislature for the additional revenue required. Yes.
This Family Assistance Research
Rebate?
Rebate Program.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
FARP.
Right. You like it, Jim?
Well, that's an interesting
yes.
acronym.
Yes.
FARP.
Creative, I thought.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it'll be discussed a lot. There will be a lot of
I have no doubt that you are right on that. That's right.
So how would it work?
Yeah, well, basically, you have to understand, Louisiana begins their tax system based upon the federal return, whatever is adjusted gross income, AGI, that is received annually by a taxpayer. From that sum, we begin the state return. And there will be places and there will be procedures in place to show that right now we're still tweaking the final details, that those who have AGI of between $30,000 and $35,000 a year will be able to receive a benefit from that. It will be based upon status. Are you an individual filer? Are you an individual filer with children, your number of dependents? Are you married? There'll be a taxonomy for that. There'll be a table for that where we can work and make sure that no one is worse off as a result of this tax swap and the agenda of the advancement of the taxpayers of Louisiana.
297-5633 for Doug Baker, Director of Communications for the Department of Revenue. And calling in first is Joe Tregel, former Revenue Secretary. Good morning to you.
Secretary, good morning.
Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Doug.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Thank you for calling.
I just have a couple of observations. And you know, I want to preface this with, number one, I'm a registered independent, so it's not a question of, okay, you called to do a hatchet job or something. But about 35 years ago, I went through this process where we dumped the Louisiana system and we adopted the federal system to piggyback it. And it took quite a while to figure it out, about 6 or 8 months. But we were successful because we disclosed everything on the front end, and you could do computations and figure out exactly where people stood. I would observe that this is really a scary proposition coming from Governor Jindal. Why? Because, number one, it's coming from a governor who has not been able, who doesn't have the ability to present an intelligent, balanced budget for 5 years. Every year we go through the same thing. They go downstairs and they give away goodies. They blow up the budget so that they can get stuff for vouchers and whatever else. And then at mid-year we have a crisis. And who do we destroy? We destroy higher education and we destroy health care. We've done it 5 years in a row. So the credibility of being able to say we know what we're doing is really, really pretty shaky.
Well, thank you, Mr. Secretary, for your comment and for calling in. I was a child when you were Secretary of Revenue and am familiar with the convention that was convened back, I think, when I was 4 years old in 1972 with Governor Edwards and when all this took place and when all this came about. Sir, I think if you look at the current tax code of the state of Louisiana, it's indefensible. I challenge anyone that has so faithfully served, such as yourself, to stand up and defend this tax code as it stands today. Alone, there are 191 sales tax exemptions. It is difficult to get your hands around those exemptions. It is difficult for journalists to even understand them. There's some of them that don't even have reporting data or a fiscal note attached to them. We must take charge, and we must do this. And I think the governor's been very, very clear and has been very, very transparent in his deliberations privately with legislators and Tim's openness to meet with various groups and to show them where we are, where we want to go, and to receive their input. But I appreciate your comment and your call.
Thank you, Joe Tregel. 297-5633 or 877-217-5757 for Doug Baker, Communications Director at the Department of Revenue. Now, a headline in The Advocate a week ago Sunday, vendors fear service taxes. And we're talking about potentially taxes on haircuts, zoo tickets, cable television. People don't like to pay taxes. You're saying, though, that this will be offset by the benefits of no income tax. How so?
Well, I just want to pick at your words there, Jim. I couldn't agree with you more. People don't like to pay taxes. And because people don't like to pay taxes, there are great avenues where people have skillfully learned how to avoid paying taxes. And the best way for people to avoid paying taxes is to have all their taxes circumvented through various exemptions in income tax and corporate income tax. When it's a sales tax-based system, it's very transparent. You know what you're doing right when you do it. And there's hardly any way to avoid that. It is a more stable system on which to build the state budget. If you look at corporate income tax, we are one of the few states in the union, very few, in the single digits, that have corporate and corporate franchise tax together. That is a job killer. We cannot keep that up. It will not allow us to move forward economically. So when we talk about moving to a sales tax base, we've talked about eliminating personal income tax, eliminating corporate income tax, eliminating corporate franchise tax, broadening the base of service to a lower flat rate whereby we can be able to generate that revenue and that swap that moves it forward in a way that is fairer, more clear, and far more transparent than what we have now.
Okay. One of the areas that will not be taxed, lawyers.
Yes.
Why will potentially accountants be be involved in a new taxing mechanism and lawyers won't?
Yes. Well, I thought one of the more humorous points that was made during the last hearing with Chairman Robidoux as an accountant, talking with the Secretary of Revenue, who's a lawyer, they always said, you know, lawyers are necessary evil. We'll talk more about that after the break. I'll be glad to address that, Jim.
You heard the music.
I did.
Yeah, Doug knows his stuff. And he knows the governor's tax plan. Will it fly? We'd like to hear from you. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. Back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Doug Baker, Director of Communications Department of Revenue, is with us, and we're going to get to as many of you as we can, so please be brief in your remarks. Marcia in Clinton. Marcia, you're on with Doug. Good morning. Marcia?
Yes?
You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, we all know sales tax is one of the most regressive taxes and one of the most onerous taxes as far as low-income and poor people. Louisiana has lots of low-income and poor people. These are the people who are going to be hurt by this tax. This is another example of Governor Jindal putting more burdens on the poor.
All right. Is that where FARP kicks in?
It is, Jim, and with all due respect to the caller, that is simply not true. If you were to analyze the data that for people that are low-income taxpayers, after the food for home consumption, prescription medication, groceries, all these types of things, their fuel costs, things like that, they will pay one of the lowest sales tax and the effective sales tax rates in the nation. The FARP program the governor wants to institute and has proposed will make sure they are not worse off under this plan. Every income group benefits from this.
But if every income group benefits, how can it be revenue neutral?
Well, it will be revenue neutral in the way that it is spread out across the services. The service base becomes the engine whereby these taxes are raised in a more transparent manner.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Doug, but if somebody is accustomed to paying $5 in taxes and under this plan they'll pay $4, then that means somebody else has to pay $6, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Well, I'm not sure all of that is correct in how you're moving that, but when you get rid of personal income tax, when you get rid of CFT, corporate income tax, corporate franchise tax, move to a sales tax base that is very broad, as we are suggesting, to that rate, you're going to generate revenue in a more stable fashion based upon the desires of the consumer, of the taxpayer.
So will businesses pay more taxes?
Well, corporate income tax right now, we did some number crunching on this, and the last full year that we have data in 2011, we actually paid corporations not to pay tax. We looked at the data and saw that we almost gave over $70 million back to corporations in credits when they didn't pay any income tax. So, no, businesses are going to be – they're going to do quite well under this plan.
Mary Kelly in South Downs. Mary Kelly, you're on with Doug Baker.
Yes, Mr. Baker. I'm not – really a math teacher, but I am a retired teacher, and I think I may have found who's going to be paying the tax. We are. Now, we don't pay income tax on our earnings from the teacher's retirement system. We will pay tax on our food and the other things. So, I think I found the group. But as I said, I'm not a math teacher. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your service in teaching. And, of course, as a public employee, you're exactly right. Your income was never subject to income tax there. What we're understanding of this, and I've said this before, let me say it once again, that there is a retirement program that will benefit an assistance to retirees and military in the state that will be proposed by the governor under this plan that will make sure that you're no worse off as a result of this plan.
Chris on Segan. Hi, Chris. You're on with Doug Baker of the Department of Revenue.
Hey, good morning, Jim. You know, I had a question for your guest, but, you know, after hearing your last back and forth between yourself, Jim, and him, I mean, it can only be stated once again that he is an absolute liar when it comes to the fact that some people are going to pay more and some people are going to pay less, and that it cannot be better for everybody.
All right. Strong words, and I wouldn't call Doug a liar, but he's obviously questioning your numbers.
Sure. I understand that. Let me say again that individual income tax, by eliminating personal income tax for taxpayers, they will benefit. Removing personal income tax will be a benefit to all taxpayers in the state of Louisiana. Removing corporate income tax will benefit business. It must, because it reduces tax burden and moves it to a way to it's a sales tax, service-based economy.
Tyrell in Kenilworth. Tim, Tyrell, you're on with Doug Baker. Hi, Tyrell.
Hi. I've heard that insurance will be taxed. I heard that health insurance is exempt. But what about homeowners insurance and car insurance? Those are big items that 6% would be very high.
Thank you for that question. Let me just say the services, which are going to be taxed, the Secretary is going to be releasing those today to the committee. If you'll check back with us, they'll have a final spate of services that will go. We've already released an initial set of that. But the answer to your question is I don't know right now on that. That is to be determined, and we'll have that information for you.
Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Charlotte, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling because your guest indicated that the state paid back corporations through, I think, a rebate or something to that effect. I guess I'm maybe using the wrong, incorrect
tax,
word.
Tax credits, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Credits. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, you, in my opinion, you wouldn't have to eliminate the income tax. Just eliminate the credit.
The credit for the corporate income tax?
Yes.
How would that benefit personal income taxpayers? I'm confused.
No, but it would benefit the state in that the state would still get its money.
As a result of eliminating the corporate income tax?
There would be more money in the Treasury.
Oh, of course, but eliminating the personal income tax would also move that as well into the economy by eliminating all these exemptions that are attached to the personal income tax and the sales tax, of course.
All right, Joey in Sherwood. Joey, good morning. You're on with Doug Baker. Thank you, Charlotte. Joey, good morning.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Isn't it true that approximately 6% of all citizens are really impacted by the state income tax, and only 6%. And is it also true that it's going to hurt the brick and mortar businesses in the state if you go to a straight sales tax? I mean, people are going to be traveling to Mississippi to buy large appliances and larger items. And can you explain to me why attorneys are being exempt? And also, is this going to have any effect on the property taxes in the future?
Well, you've asked a myriad of questions, so let me try to answer them as I may. Property taxes, no. It's been clear from the very beginning that we've taken that off the table. We think that will actually make us more competitive because we'll have a lower property tax rate as we engineer and move forward these ideas together. I'm not sure where you're getting that 6% figure. I've never heard that. I think that all taxpayers are affected by personal income tax. And
I think he's talking about
sure.
The 5.88 sales tax.
I thought he was meaning personal income tax, right. So yes, that's going to be happening there, and we hope to remove that, and we think it'll be an economic development driver.
Dan in Central, good morning, Dan. You're on with Doug Baker.
I have two questions. One, I understand that there's a plan to help retirees and low-income people by giving them some sort of rebate back, but how are those people, from a cash flow standpoint, going to be able to afford to pay higher sales taxes on lots of stuff through the year and then wait to get that money back? And the second issue is, how can we even say that numbers work if we don't even really know what services are going to be added to the sales tax base?
Well, first of all, your first question, sir, about low-income taxpayers, after you factor in the exemptions that are constitutionally protected under the state of Louisiana, food for home consumption, prescription drugs, residential utilities, much of their fuel, when you start adding all that up together, plus their FARP benefit that we're proposing there, they're paying a very, very low tax rate on the other items they might purchase. It will enable them to save what they want there. They will be able to save what they make and then spend what they want. As far as the services, we have been very deliberate in that process. We have tried to do our research, and we have done so with the aid of what they call NAICS data. That is NAICS. That is part of the U.S. Bureau of the Census with the North American Industry Classification System that we have tried to analyze through the aid and expertise of Ernst & Young, a way that we can carefully and with great precision understand these services and delineate them in a way that would resupply the revenue stream for the state as we remove personal income tax for the taxpayer.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, Doug Baker.
My honor, Jim. Thank you for having us.
CB for Gunston is next.
Yes.
He posed a question online yesterday.
Okay.
What about lobbyists? Will they be taxed?
I'll leave that for him to answer in his next segment.
Well, do you know?
I do not know.
Do not know. They are probably lobbying not to be taxed.
Well,
they are lobbyists.
That's one thing we say. If you've got a lobbyist, you've got a loophole in this tax code. So that's what we're trying to avoid and to remove. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Well, thank you. And appreciate your generosity and your time. And I know you're a busy guy. Appreciate it. C.B. Fragonston is with us, the former chief counsel of the House Appropriations Committee, who is now a blogger of renown, has been for well over a decade. Fragonston.com is where you read CB's missives. Good morning to you, Mr. Fragonston.
Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Fine, and you speak as a lawyer. I'm sure you're pleased that you're not going to be taxed as a lawyer.
Absolutely. I am grateful because we are a necessary evil. Actually, we're an unnecessary evil because you don't need a lawyer to represent you in court. You can represent yourself. So for the life of me, I don't understand why we're singled out, except for the fact that probably a majority of the legislators are lawyers.
Well, does that mean you're for the plan?
What's that?
Does that mean you're for the plan, since you won't have to pay additional
no,
taxes
I'm
as a
not,
lawyer?
I'm not that selfish. I like to look out, take a broad view of this thing, and it just doesn't work. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the session, and we've never seen the plan. It's very hard to discuss. I mean, it's just a rumor that lawyers are not taxed and that lobbyists will be taxed. I don't know. And I don't have any firm numbers from the Department of Revenue or the Division of Administration or the Governor's Office. So it makes it difficult to analyze the plan. But the general concept of getting rid of the income tax is very good, but not at the expense of rolling $3 billion in taxes up on the business community.
Well, you got to find the money somewhere.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that, you know, I've been accused of being one for maintaining the status quo. And, you know, be that as it may, right now, at least I know what I'm dealing with the current tax code. I don't have a clue what I'll be dealing with in the future, and none of us will know until the legislative session ends and this and we vetted all the conference committee reports, and then, you know, we might find out over the next few years, very much like the Obamacare situation, because remember that the Revenue Department will interpret this law after it's written through rules, very much like Obamacare. And we don't have a clue. Look at what happened when the case of, I think she's Deputy Secretary of Revenue now, when she was a state representative, Jane Smith passed a bill that she said only affected a few vehicles on the alternate fuel tax. But it turns out that the written language in the thing was completely different, and the rules of the Revenue Department were rolled out, and, you know, the secretary was summarily fired for what turned into a huge tax exemption. So there's been a draft, a 95-page draft of the plan. But it's just a draft. In fact, it's a draft of a draft, according to the administration.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with CB. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for having this conversation. I'm glad I got you, Mr. Fragonston, because you might give me an honest answer. I have to say that when the governor's administration said they supported higher education, that was a backdoor way for them to get in a voucher system and to start privatizing hospitals and other services and other departments. This looks to me like a front door way for special corporate interest. And I don't want to pay the real estate taxes that Florida and Texas pay. I don't want to grow up to be Florida.
Well, let me tell you, I'll give you an educated guess at what this plan does. And I'm being as honest as I can, given that there is no information on the tax swap. That, but based on what I am hearing from various sizes business, from the smallest like me, one person, all the way up to the major corporations, everybody that has viewed the rumors of this plan and put numbers to it, they're going to pay extra money. So I don't see where the benefit comes in to anybody. For instance, let me give you an example. And I think Parr pointed this out, or one of the other good government groups, that the figures that have been put out by the Department of Revenue show that a very poor person would save $19 a year on this tax swap. And that's good, except they didn't include in there the cigarette tax. And let's just say, hypothetically, a poor person smokes a pack of cigarettes a day. That person's taxes would go up by $365, and he only saves $19. So, you can take numbers out of context and make them say anything.
297-5633 for CB for Godston. HB in Denham Springs, you're on with CB.
Good morning. Mr. CB, the advocate reported that the, for instance, I think it's the Celtic Studios in Baton Rouge get a 30% tax break now, and it was, the legislature approved an additional break from, I think the original was 20 or 25% up to 30. If how much are we spending on tax break against what is claimed that they are pumping back into the economy? Would you happen to have those figures? Thank you, sir.
No, that's not something I'm knowledgeable about. You'd have to ask the Revenue Department or the Legislative Fiscal Office. And by the way, please just call me CB, and I wish all the listeners would.
All right. Well, do you think these tax breaks are good, like for the movie industry?
I think the tax breaks would be good for all businesses. Frankly, I'm opposed to any exemptions, and my proposal for tax reform would be to get rid of all exemptions and lower the rates. That's really simple to do. You just repeal all the sales tax exemptions and all the income tax exemptions and credits and make it revenue neutral and simply lower the tax rates. Just to guess, and this is purely speculation, but it's as good as anything put out by the Revenue Department, that the state sales tax would drop to at least 2%, and the personal income tax would probably drop to something like 3%, and the corporate income tax. That's my kind of tax reform. I don't believe in singling people out, but frankly, given the nature of taxes in this state, they're a necessary evil right now.
877-217-5757 is your number for C.B. Forgodston, former chief counsel for the House Appropriations Committee. You can find him online at forgodston.com, and he will return with us after this 90-second pause. And we'll also hear from Joni Leggio, who has some information about college scholarships and how to pay for college. All this after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. C.B. Forgodston is with us. 297-5633, the man from Newellton who now calls Tangipahoa Parish home after being blown out of New Orleans by Hurricane Katrina. And now he is surveying the tax reform plan that the governor of Louisiana is submitting to lawmakers. Jeff on Government Street. Jeff, you're on with C.B.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. CB, do you know, do we still have a federal tax deduction for our state income taxes? And has anybody calculated the cost of losing that tax deduction that people who do pay taxes would have if we go to a straight sales tax?
No, Jeff, that's in the Constitution, like the sales tax exemption for food, utilities, and drugs. So that's not part of this plan, removing that.
Now, Treasurer Kennedy has insisted that the governor go before the people of Louisiana, even if he somehow gets two-thirds support in the House and the Senate. The treasurer says he's got to cross another hurdle, get a majority vote of the people. You've said this isn't constitutionally necessary, CB, but is it a good idea?
Well, I think if you're going to do true tax reform, you're going to have to get into the Constitution. What I just suggested as to remove all exemptions, you definitely would have to get into constitutional amendments. Then you take the entire package and submit it to the people. Mm-hmm. So if you cannot really do true tax reform without getting into the Constitution and thus letting the people decide. Frankly, I was surprised about the Jindal tax swap initially because I thought that's what he was planning on doing. And then they are actually seem to be afraid of allowing the public to deal with this. They believe that they can get the votes of the legislature, but seem to be afraid that they can't get the vote of the people. So I really thought that that was the original plan until I found out that there were no constitutional amendments going to be introduced by the administration.
Do you think the Jindal administration can get the votes necessary in the legislature?
They can get anything as long as the legislator's primary goal in life is to bring home the bacon. There's a tremendous amount of funds coming down from the BP settlements, fines, and penalties. They're a couple of $1 billion, and they will start flowing as early as next month. They are not dedicated to coastal protection or repairing the damage from the BP oil spill, despite the rhetoric we've heard. And so if that money, if Jindal gets his hands on that money and the legislature allow him, then I think it's very possible to buy the votes of the legislature.
John in Lafayette. John, good morning. You're on with CB.
Yep, CB. We've had these studies done by legislators for, three or four years about all these exemptions that corporations get and how some of them are really outdated and not needed anymore. But nothing's ever done about eliminating those exemptions. I think there's something like $7 billion, according to the advocate, in exemptions. What, if anything, is happening there, and what should be done about all these exemptions?
Well, nothing is happening. The legislature spent the interim studying them and decided, concluded at the end, that it needed more study, which is it's kind of funny when you think about it, because Bobby Jindal said it doesn't need any study. I'm just going to get rid of some of them. But in answer to your question, what I think should be done with all the exemptions, they should all be repealed. And we should lower the tax rate on a revenue-neutral basis. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to simplify the tax code, that's the simplest way I know.
Do you commend the governor for trying?
Let me say this. I commend him for finally, after 5 years, recognizing that the tax code may be a problem in Louisiana. The way he's going about it, and his rhetoric attacking the business community, is not doing anything to help this state, though. It's a shame.
Well, I commend Tim Barfield and Jason DeQueer and now Doug Baker, all from the Department of Revenue, who've come on this show. And Doug came in this morning knowing he was going to take a beating, and he left a little bruised but unbowed. And Steve,
well, that's his job, Jim. Well, his job is to take the hits from his boss man.
Well, you've been there.
Hey, he's paid
you've been
very
there.
Well to do that. Look, don't feel sorry for him.
I didn't say I felt sorry for him.
That's his whole job.
I said I commended him.
Yeah, okay. Well, but you don't commend people. I don't like to commend people for doing their job.
Well, some people run from microphones.
Yeah. Well, he runs from the press, that's for sure. I've heard from too many people in the media.
Who runs from the press?
Doug Baker. He will not respond to media requests. Now, I'm hearing this directly from the media.
Well, he responded to me, and so he's all right with me.
Jim, you're an important guy. But, everybody doesn't have your clout.
Well, Steve Wenham, our dear friend, former budget director for Governor Romer, says hello to CB, and he says, Jim, I'm looking to buy some snake oil. Do you think Doug might be able to help me out?
That's great. Steve is one of the most knowledgeable people about the budget that's still alive in this state, and I really appreciate having him as a friend.
Well, I think Doug was sincere, and it's going to be hard, though, to make the case that this is revenue neutral for everybody. As you point out, If you smoke, certainly it's not going to be revenue neutral. But then again, some would say that our cigarette taxes are way too low anyway. So why not have an increase in taxes on cigarettes?
Well, let's just tell it like it is then. What's wrong with putting that in the formula and showing what everybody will pay, whether they're a two-pack-a-day smoker or one-pack-a-day smoker? Or why hide that information from these profiles that they've released? I don't understand. If you're going to be transparent, and we hear transparency constantly from the general administration, why don't you practice what you preach? That's all I say.
Well, it's marketing. They're just putting their best foot forward.
No, Jim. Errors of omission are just as great a lies as errors of commission. And it's been brought to their attention numerous times that they do not have two things in their profiles. They do not have the cigarette tax nor the impact of the 5.88% tax on services. Now, to continue, first time they did it was a mistake. The second time is an intentional omission.
Well, it's going to be a tough sell. I don't know if you're being flippant or not, but I would think based on what's going on right now, CB, it will be extremely difficult to get two-thirds support in either house, either the House or the Senate.
Jim, I have seen it happen, and again, I'm not being flippant about the BP funds, and I'm not being flippant about the legislators believing that the most important thing for reelection is to bring home the bacon. And I've seen it happen throughout the general administration. And so I'm just telling you why I won't say this is dead. This is not a good plan. It's not good for anybody except Bobby Jindal to go on his national campaign to be the Republican nominee for president by saying, "I repeal the personal income tax." Mm-hmm. That's all it's about, and the ends justify the means as far as he's concerned.
Well, we need skeptics like you in our society, CB, but were you ever in favor of tax reform? Were you in favor of Governor Romer's plan 24 years ago?
Jim, you obviously don't know much about my background. I was one of the leaders of the Louisiana Council for Tax Reform that the Romer plan was crafted after. That was led by Jim Bob Moffitt,
right,
the chairman
of
Freeport. I was the treasurer of the organization. I was one of the first consultants hired. I helped put together the whole idea of being able to do this in one constitutional amendment when everybody said it couldn't be done.
And that one only got 45% of the votes from the people. It did get
Absolutely.
Legislative support.
But it doesn't mean I'm not for tax reform because the people voted against it.
It was a bit of a rhetorical question. But
but
why was that brand of tax reform better than this brand?
Because the purpose was not to do anything except make the economics climate in Louisiana better. We were getting rid of major business tax exemptions and the lowering the homestead exemption, creating a level playing field, and not increasing anybody's taxes, but it would allow the economy to grow and tax revenues to the state would grow as the economy grew. That was the base plan. And then the general plan just doesn't do that.
Well, the governor is going out on a limb. He said when he ran for governor in 2007 that he wanted on his tombstone the two words, "He tried." Well, he's trying.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad he can put that on his tombstone. But that's all he wants anyway. He wants to be able to say, "I tried." Even if this fails, he wins. The losers will be the legislature, who he will trash for not repealing the personal income tax.
We'll see.
He's got it made either way.
We'll follow it with you. Thank you, sir.
Right.
Always a pleasure. CB for Godston. Okay. Take care. And we're joined in studio now by Joni Leggio, who is with the Louisiana Education Loan Authority, LELA. Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about LELA.
Leela, like you just said, stands for the Louisiana Education Loan Authority, and we are a nonprofit who assists students who are planning for college. So right now our main message is that college-bound students preparing for the fall, that financial aid is available. We don't want them to not apply thinking that they can't go to college because of financial reasons. So we are encouraging students that now is the time to fill out their free application for federal student aid.
How do they find those applications?
The best place to file your application is online at FAFSA.gov.
And that's F-A-F-S-A.
F-A-F-S-A.gov. Now, there are some scams out there that we don't mm-hmm. want students to come upon websites that charge any fees for this. So this is a free application, so we do want them to go to the government website.
Getting an indoctrination on all kinds of acronyms today. First
yes.
it was FARP, and now it's FAFSA, free application for federal student aid, FAFSA, and this has to be done within a certain time period, right?
Yes. Now that families are filing their tax returns, it is the time for them to also file their FAFSA. And the federal government has streamlined the application where now there is an IRS data retrieval tool that families who have filed their taxes electronically can actually use this tool when they are filing the FAFSA, and it populates the figures that are used in the FAFSA, so it's not as quite as overwhelming, and it is a little more streamlined.
There is $150 billion, with a B, dollars in federal aid available for students going to college, so you're conveying the message that students should not avoid college for financial reasons.
That is correct. We want every student to apply. You never know, depending on the financial need of the family. They may even qualify for some free money, some federal Pell grants. Mm. There are student loans available, but the main message is that they just need to apply.
And the Louisiana Education Loan Authority, LELA, which has Joni as its Assistant Vice President of Marketing, a nonprofit, is offering some scholarships, $10,000?
We certainly are. With our outreach campaign for financial aid awareness, we have a scholarship contest going on right now where we want students to submit either an essay or a video telling us what their college game plan is. So the deadline is March 31st. This would be a great time for them to work on it. I know a lot of students are out this week, and maybe over the weekend they could submit their project to us. We just want them to get creative, and we know we have some very tech-savvy students out there that like to do videos on their smartphones, and they can submit those to us at lela.org. And we have some other scholarship opportunities on our website. We have some great resources for students who are planning. We have college preparing checklists for juniors and seniors. They can also become our fan on Facebook at Ask LELA, and we award a $1,000 scholarship every quarter to one of our Facebook fans.
Really? LELA, the Louisiana Education Loan Authority. Now, this deadline of March 31st is rapidly approaching, just 5 days away. So for those who are trying to win a scholarship, you're asking them to be creative. How creative can they get in 5 days?
Well, if they are they could take a picture of themselves, you know, sitting at the computer, filing the FAFSA. They can just tell us exactly what they're doing to plan for college and use their imagination.
All right. And the website, once again, is to go and find all this important information. They should go where?
To AskLELA.org.
AskLELA.org. With financial aid application deadlines approaching and the scholarship deadline in 5 days, LELA, which is a nonprofit resource for college planning, is using this month to spread the word that with $150 billion, $150 billion in federal aid available. No student should avoid college for financial reasons. So this is certainly independent of TOPS. The people who get other kinds of financial aid, they're still eligible to participate in this program?
Oh, absolutely, yes. This would be in addition to TOPS.
Well, thank you, Joni Leggio, and good luck. And we look forward to hearing some success stories from students who have taken part in programs that are sponsored by LELA. And remember FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A, for the completion workshops. And $10,000 in scholarships available for those who get in under the deadline of March 31st. Until tomorrow, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.